What is the spirit of this age all about? It's all about me. We think the world revolves around us, and whatever we want to do, that's absolutely fine. Well, beloved, that's really not the way it is when you belong to Jesus Christ. We need to understand that death works in me so that life might work in you. And that's the essence of this message that we're going to hear that I brought at the National Women's Convention. Beloved, about your ministry, so that you recognize that you are alive for such a time as this, but so that you are prepared to serve God no matter what comes your way and not lose heart. I want you to take the papers that we have given you, and I want you to turn to the side that is 2 Corinthians chapter 4. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1, it says, "Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart." As we have received this ministry, therefore, we do not lose heart. When he says, "Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart." When you find a therefore, you have to find out what the therefore is there for. Because the therefore is a term of conclusion. Now, what we do at Precept Ministries is we teach you to study the Bible inductively. Inductive Bible study begins with accurate, careful observation of the text. And if you get the new inductive study Bible, you'll find at the beginning of that Bible instructions on how you observe the text and colored markings and showing you what to do. When I mark a therefore, I do three dots in the shape of a triangle. All right? So I would put three dots over that therefore. All right? And as you look at that therefore, you have to go back and say, okay, what is he concluding? Well, he's concluding that we have a ministry, and that this ministry we have received by the mercy of God. And because we have received it by the mercy of God, we are not to lose heart. Now, when you look at this word ministry, what you want to do is you want to go back to chapter 3. And you want to go back to chapter 3. And this is why you should study a book of the Bible all the way through. Because when you jump into the middle of the book, you're jumping into thoughts. You need to see what the whole purpose is. You need to understand the context, what's come before and what's come after. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, what Paul has talked about is he has talked about a ministry. And that ministry that he's talking about is described to us in verse 6 of 2 Corinthians 3. So let me read 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5. He says, "Not that we are adequate in ourselves to consider anything as coming from ourselves. I know, precious one, as I stand here and teach you, that I am totally inadequate for the task, in my own flesh, in my own ability. But I know that my adequacy is of Jesus Christ. And if it wasn't, I wouldn't stand here and try and do the ministry that God has called me to do." He says, so our adequacy is from God. And that's what you have to remember. You have to remember that you have a ministry, and your ministry is something that God enables you to do, because your adequacy is not found here. Your adequacy is found in God. So he goes on to say, who also made us adequate as servants of the new what? New covenant. Now, the Bible's divided into two parts, okay? So right here, I'm in the middle of the Bible, all right? So the Bible is divided into two parts. The Old Testament or the Old Covenant. Testament is another word for covenant. And the New Testament or the New Covenant. The Old Covenant centers around the... That's to keep you awake. It's been a long day. All right, you're doing well, though. All right, it's centered around the... Do you remember? Was it Cecil B. DeMille that did the Ten Commandments? Whoever it was, remember when the lightning came down and we got the law? All right, now the law was given to us. You got it? All right, so the law was given to us until the mediator of the new covenant would come. Now the mediator, so this is law, the mediator of the new covenant is Jesus Christ, and it says, for the law came by Moses, this is Moses, that's his staff, all right, the law came by Moses, but grace and truth were realized where? In Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ, as Jesus Christ was the mediator of a new covenant, as Jesus Christ on the night in which he was betrayed took the bread, broke it, and said, this is my body broken for you. And he took the cup and he said, this is the blood of the new covenant shed for the forgiveness of sins. All right, so now what he's saying is that God has made you and me adequate as ministers of a what covenant? What am I doing over here? I'm the new covenant. So he has made us adequate as ministers of the new covenant. All right, now, not of the letter, but of the spirit. All right, not of the letter is which side? Old covenant, good. That's the law. I just kind of like to do it. All right. And not of the old covenant, of the letter, but of the what? Spirit. Now, if you've been with me teaching, I just got back from Budapest, and I was training leaders of seminaries and denominations and women's ministries and prisons and universities and things like that. And I was teaching them. And when you're teaching and you're walking through a book of the Bible and you've got six translations going on all the time and you're discussing that with them, it helps to have a little body language and it helps to have a little symbolism. And so I would tell them that when we get saved, we have the Holy Spirit. And this represents the Holy Spirit. And where is the Holy Spirit? When you get saved under the new covenant, he's where? He's in you. Okay. And when he's in you, and we're going to see this later, he is power. All right? So you have been made adequate by the mercy of God, and you have been made a minister of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives what? The Spirit gives life. But if the ministry of death in letters engraved on stones came with glory, what's that ministry of death engraved on stones? That's the law. Okay, so you got it? Now watch the contrast. If the ministry of death in letters engraved on stones came with glory, so that the sons of Israel could not look intently at the face of Moses because of the glory of his face fading as it was. What was happening? Well, one of the things was the law was going to pass away when the new covenant came of salvation by what? Grace through what? Through faith. All right. So he's saying if that, the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, the ministry of death, you say it doesn't sound like a very good covenant. Well, it was, because it shapes you up and shows you where you're headed, which is to hell if you don't live righteously. Okay.
Hi, I'm Kay Arthur with Precept Ministries International, and it's wonderful to have you here in our home. I wish you could be here physically, but I've got another suggestion. Why don't you go to Israel with us? Israel is my favorite thing to do. I feel like it's not a vacation, it's not a luxury, it's an investment that will absolutely change your life. And you know what? It is a blast. People say, this trip is so much fun. I learn so much, but I laugh and I share and we have time together. So many memories and such sweet fellowship. Laughter, fun, prayers, tears, sharing. It's wonderful. But the best thing is studying His Word where it happened.
It says, if the ministry of death and letters engraved on stones came with glory, so that the sons of Israel could not look intently at the face of Moses because of the glory of his face, fading as it was, how will the what? What does it say? Whatever translation, it ought to say, the ministry of the what? The ministry of the Spirit. If this, the law, was with glory, then the ministry of the Spirit, how can it fail to be with even more glory? All right, verse 9. For if the ministry of condemnation has glory, which one is that? The law. Why? Because it condemns you. Because it shows you what God expects. It shows you the righteousness of God. And no matter how hard you try, you can't reach it because you're just a sinner. And so you can't get rid of that sin on your own. So it's a ministry of condemnation. Because if you keep the whole law and break it in one point, then you're guilty of breaking it all. All right, so if the ministry of condemnation has glory, much more does the ministry of righteousness abound in glory. So this, the law, is a ministry of what? Condemnation. This, grace, is a ministry of what? Righteousness. Why? Because when you receive Jesus Christ, God takes the righteousness of Christ and He puts it to your account. The Holy Spirit comes in and He sets you apart and He makes you holy and He enables you to live righteously. Now that's the ministry that God has for us. All right, now go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Okay, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Therefore, since we have this what? This ministry. All right, what ministry is he talking about? The ministry of condemnation or the ministry of what? And death or the ministry of righteousness and what? Life. Since we have this ministry, you have a ministry. Every child of God has a ministry. And that ministry is to deliver the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's why I am so excited about what Becky Pippert is doing in teaching us how to do this evangelism and how to reach our neighborhoods with this glorious, glorious ministry. All right, he says, as we have received this ministry, therefore, since we have received this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced the things hidden because of shame. Not walking in, now watch carefully, not walking in craftiness, nor adulterating the word of God. To adulterate the word of God, beloved, means that you take something that is pure, absolute truth, and you distort it, and you twist it, and you add your own things to it. And listen, when you do that, you're tampering with the word of God, and you better be careful. There's a lot of people on television that are preaching a wonderful, wonderful message, but there are many that are twisting and distorting this truth. And what Paul is saying is this: we have this ministry. We're not going to lose heart. We have renounced the things in the past, and we are set. We are set and determined not to walk in craftiness, not to adulterate the word of God, but by the manifestation of truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. In other words, look at my life, examine my life, see how I'm living. Don't just listen to the words that are coming out of my mouth, but watch the way I walk. Paul says, watch the way I walk and watch the way they walk. And if they aren't walking the way that I'm walking, you know this, they're walking wrong. Their God is their belly and their appetite. Don't follow them. Paul was able to commend his life and his ministry as an example to others. Look at verse 3. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are what? Perishing. Now, he's talked about how Moses had a veil on his face. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, he says, every Jew that does not believe in Jesus Christ does not believe because there's a veil and they can't see the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. All they can see is the law, but they don't see grace. All right, so he's saying this. If our ministry, if our message, if our gospel, it is veiled, it's veiled to those, look at it, it is veiled to those who are, what does the text say? Perishing. They're going to hell. And why are they going to hell? In whose case the God of this world has blinded. Now listen very carefully. This is so key to you, so key. Listen carefully. Has blinded what? The minds. Do you realize how important the mind is? When I hear people on television saying, forget all that doctrine, it's not important, just fall in love with Jesus Christ, that is not from God. God wants our minds renewed. God wants our minds transformed. God wants our minds to line up with the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the what? The Word of God. And so he's saying when they don't believe it, it's because the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving so that they might not see the light of the what? Gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Now, what have you seen repeated in verse 3 and in verse 4? What word have you seen repeated? Gospel. All right, now I want you to look at the screen, and you'll see how I mark gospel on your piece of paper. And what I want you to do, I'm on the screen. Okay, all right, do you see that megaphone up there? Do you see the megaphone? Look at the monitors. Don't look at me, look at the monitors. All right, do you see that megaphone? All right, when I mark the word gospel, I use a New Inductive Study Bible, so I follow their guidelines. And I mark the gospel the way they do with a megaphone. Why? Because we are to go into all the world and what? Preach the gospel to every creature. In other words, we're to proclaim it in season and out of season, when it's convenient, when it's not convenient. We are to reprove and rebuke and exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine, because the time is coming when men will not endure those things but heap to themselves teachers who will tickle their ears. So I use a megaphone. You and I have the responsibility of getting that out. So what I want you to do, put it back on the screen for a minute, and I want you to draw a megaphone over gospel. All right? So I want you to do it in verse 3, and even if our what? Gospel is veiled. Now you can see from that, if you can see it clearly enough, that I draw gospel in a red outline, and then I color it with green. Red outline for the blood of Jesus Christ, because that's what the gospel is all about, and green because once you get it, you're to keep on growing. So green's my color for growth. All right, so now mark it there. Now I want you to come down, and I want you to mark it in verse 4. It's in the last line of verse 4. It says, so they might not see the light of the what? Gospel of the glory of Christ. All right, who is the image of God? Now let's just take those two words, gospel, because the purpose of marking your Bible is not just to have a pretty Bible. with markings. But the purpose is to slow down, to observe the text, and to see what it's saying. So after you mark it, you go back and look at it. And when you look at it, you ask the five W's and an H. Who, what, when, where, why, and how? Those are the questions that you should ask as you observe the Word of God. In our children's inductive study series, and we suggest that you start with Wrong Way Jonah. He's an investigative reporter. He's a journalist. He's going to cover this story of this man that is swallowed by a great fish. He's going to ask the journalistic questions. What are they? They're the five W's and an H. Let's say it together. Who, what, when, where, why, and how. Now, one of the things that I have learned, I am lousy at languages. I'm a little dyslexic. I'm probably a little ADD, in case you haven't noticed. But anyway, but one of the things I've learned to say, wo, was, bot, you know, in German, and I've learned to say it in Kato, Shato, and these other languages. Can't say anything else, but I can stand there and say who, what, when, where, why, and how to them in those languages that we're working in.
We are on the air because of friends who give generously to this ministry. Our financial partners at every level provide the faithful, ongoing support we need to touch thousands of lives every single day. To partner with us, visit preceptsforlife.com today. Your much-needed gift will help us reach the world with the Word of God.
Now, when we look at it, we see in verse 3, it says, even if our gospel is veiled. Now, what is he talking about? He's talking about a message that we are what? That we are proclaiming. All right? What does that message in verse 3 have to do with chapter 4, verse 1? Is there any synonym in chapter 4, verse 1, that parallels the gospel? Yes, you got it. Honey, I'm proud of you. All right? It is the word ministry, because it's the ministry of the gospel. So let's put a megaphone over ministry, because it's the ministry of the gospel. Now, how do I know it's the ministry of the gospel? Because you go back to chapter 3, and what do we see in chapter 3? Now, you don't have it there, but we are servants of the what? You're not looking at your Bible there. We are servants of the what? New covenant. What's the new covenant? The new covenant is about whom? What person? Jesus Christ. What about Jesus Christ? That Jesus Christ was God. That Jesus Christ was God in the flesh. That Jesus Christ was the God-man, born of a virgin, born without sin, who was tempted in all ways as we are, and yet without sin, who was the Lamb of God, who was going to take away the sins of the world, who was nailed to a cross, and there he who knew no sin was made to be sin for you and me, that you and I might have his righteousness. He was buried. He died. He was buried, but he rose again on the third day, never to die again. The message of the gospel is this, that when Christ died, Romans 6, you died in him. When Christ was buried, you were buried with him. And when he was raised to walk in newness of life, you were raised to walk in newness of life. Never ever to die again spiritually. That's the message. So you would even go back, and in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, you would put a megaphone over every reference to the ministry, not of condemnation and death, but of righteousness and what? Life. So you would mark that, and you would begin to learn and understand even more on this ministry. All right, now, in chapter 4, verses 1 to 4, this is what I want you to do. put a line at the bottom of chapter 4. And I want to give you a little analysis of this chapter. Okay? And this is what I want you to write. We are not to lose heart. Therefore, do not lose heart. Do your three dots for the triangle, for the therefore. It's quicker. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Instead of writing the word heart, draw a what? Heart. And then later in your Bible, well, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1, put a heart over heart. And underline, we do not lose heart. We do not lose heart since we have a ministry and have renounced the hidden things of darkness. Now listen, this is the problem with many people. God has saved them. God has given them a ministry. The ministry is the ministry of the gospel. And yet what happens is they really don't renounce totally the things of darkness. The darkness that they once walked in. I once lived in immorality. I once failed as a mother. I failed as a wife. My husband was bipolar. We didn't know it. And that's why he was, you know, high and great and low and a little bit of hell to live with. Depressed, not understanding what it was. Although I was a nurse and had my psychiatric training, I just was blind to it. But I said, I'll go back and I'll marry him. Because I wanted to renounce the hidden things of darkness. I wanted I had been and lived an immoral life. And I wanted to go back and I wanted to be pure and I wanted to be the wife and the mother that I should be. And then I get the phone call that he had committed suicide. He had succeeded. But he's saying we renounce these hidden things of darkness. And not only that, but when we come to know him, we don't adulterate the word of God. We support it in all of its purity. So what you see him saying here is because we are living in this purity. Excuse me, let me get the Holy Spirit. And because we're living in the power, because I'm living in the power of the Holy Spirit, then if my gospel is veiled, it is veiled not because of my life, because my life has been changed and because I've renounced and because I'm handling the word of God accurately. So if my gospel is veiled, it's veiled not because of me, because they're seeing Christ in me, but they're as veiled because the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving and they just cannot see. I want you to see is in verses 5 and 6. And I want to read verse 5 and 6 and then I want to show you something about it. He says, we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus as what? Lord. And ourselves as your what? Bond servants for whom? Bond servants for Jesus Christ. Do you know what a bond servant was? If you would go back in the Old Testament and you would read in Deuteronomy about a bondservant, the Jews were required every 7 years to let their slaves go free if they were another brother Jew or sister Jew. And so they were required to let them go in the year of Jubilee. If the year of Jubilee came up and it was before the 7 years had passed, they were required to let them go. A bondservant was this. A bondservant was a person that came to their master, the one that they were indentured to, the one that they owed a debt to. And they would say to their master, Master, I know that I can go free, but Master, I don't want to be free. I don't want to be free because when I belong to you, listen carefully, when I belong to you, life is better than when I'm living on my own. I don't want to be free because I have come to love you. I don't want to be free because I want to serve you. I am here. I am your servant. And so the master would say, all right, you can become my bondservant. Come with me. And they would take the man to a piece of wood and they would take a metal awl. I mean, it's a big hole. It's not like piercing your ears, girls. I mean, it's like putting a big, big hole in it. They would pull out that earlobe. They would take that awl and they would drive it through that ear. I mean, hammer it through that ear until that big hunk of flesh came out. And that person then, having that healed, would walk around town, would do his bidding of his master, and everybody would look at him and they'd see that great big old hole in his ear and they'd say, whoa, whoo, you must have some master. You must have some master that you want to be a slave to that master for the rest of your life. That master must be an awesome, awesome man. Have you got a hole in your ear, precious one? A hole in your ear because you have come to God and you have said to God, God, I am better off when I am under your total and absolute control. I am better off when I live as a slave than when I live as a free man. Now turn back to 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and look at verse 6 again because it's so important. He says, and he's talking about our adequacy is from God, verse 6, who also made us adequate as what? Servants of a new covenant. And what he's saying in these two verses in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 5 and 6 is that it is not, now listen carefully, it is not about me. And it says in verse 6, for God who said, light shall shine out of darkness, is the one who has shown where? Where? In our hearts. Put a heart over the hearts again. In our hearts. Why has God shown in our hearts? To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Do you know what? The minute that you, a sinner, get saved and you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ and you move from sin to righteousness, from condemnation to justification, the minute that you move from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to the kingdom of God, God, it gets all the glory because you see this so great a salvation. And so when God comes into your heart and when he shines that light in the midst of this dark and perverse generation, you give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So verses 5 and 6, this is what I want you to write down in the margin of your text there. Verse 5 and 6, he's saying, it's not about you. Who is it about? It is about Jesus Christ. All right, so it's not about you. It's about Jesus, and you are his what? You are his bondservant. You are his servant. Now, I want to stop and ask you a question. Are there things in your past that you're hanging on to, that you have not renounced? Are there things that you just want to cling to of this world? Are you, in a sense, telling people about the Word of God when you really haven't even studied it? And you don't really know it for yourself, but you're just parroting what somebody else said? Does that bring God glory? No, no. You know, one of the greatest burdens of my heart is when I hear people say, I don't have time to study the Bible. Just tell me what to believe. Just give me an easy Bible study. Just give me a fill-in-the-blank kind of Bible study. I'm busy. I want to tell you something. Someday you're going to so regret that you said that. Because man doesn't live by bread alone. He lives by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. This is a big book. There's lots to learn here. There's lots that you've got to know. And the reason I believe that so many people are failing in their Christianity and are not loving God with all their heart, mind, body, soul, and spirit is because they don't know God. And they don't know God because they piddle around just in the New Testament and think that the Old Testament is not about anything and it's all dead and past. But where do you meet God? Where do you get to know Him? Where do you understand His ways? Where do you see His character? It's in the Old Testament. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. But Jesus then points us back where we really get to know the Father. And that's how you're going to do it. You're going to get in the Bible and you're going to go through and you're going to study it. The inductive study Bible will tell you how to do that, how to observe the text, mark the text, move through the Bible book by book. Our new inductive study series will take you through and tell you what to do every day and keep you on a disciplined path. And it will only cost you 15 minutes of work and then however long you want to meditate. So next to verse 5 and 6, it's not about you, it's about Jesus. And you are the servant. So what are you to do? You're to preach it. You are to preach it.
I'm Kay Arthur with Precept Ministries International, and it's wonderful to have you here in our home. I wish you could be here physically, but I've got another suggestion. Why don't you go to Israel with us? Israel is my favorite thing to do. I feel like it's not a vacation, it's not a luxury, it's an investment that will absolutely change your life. And you know what? It is a blast. People say, this trip is so much fun. I learn so much, but I laugh and I share and we have time together. So many memories and such sweet fellowship. Laughter, fun, prayers, tears, sharing. It's wonderful. But the best thing is studying His Word where it happened.
Now, verses 7 to 12, and I want you to watch because this, let me just show you something. This is what happens in chapter 4. You get a truth, then you get the next one, and it comes like this. And then you come to the crown jewel of that chapter. Then you go back this way, and then you go back this way, and you have some parallelisms. And I saw that this morning, just this morning, as I was going over this, and I thought, Lord, this is glorious, because verses 7 to 12 are the heart of this chapter. And this is the message I believe that God has for us tonight. So let's read it. It says in verse 7, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels. What is the treasure that we have in the earthen vessels? It is Jesus Christ. In us. It is the Spirit of God living in us. What does He mean in an earthen vessel? He means, honey, you and I are just like the people out in the world. We look like them. We go through the things that they go through. We have the same desires. We have all been sinners. And we have this treasure. What treasure? The treasure of the Holy Spirit, the ministry of the new covenant, the ministry of life, the ministry of righteousness. We have it where? In us. We have this treasure where? In earthen vessels, so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves. We are afflicted in every way. We are not exempt. But we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but we are not despairing. We're not without hope. We don't know what to do. We don't know what's going on. We don't know why, but we are not despairing. We are persecuted, but we are not forsaken. We are struck down, but we are not destroyed. Now catch this. Always carrying about in the body, in this body, the dying of Jesus so that, and I would underline so that, the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. Now, what I want you to do is I want you to mark the word dying. And this is the way the New Inductive Study Bible recommends that you do it, that you just put a tombstone over it. And they're going to put it up on the screen so that you can see that little tombstone. Do you see that? All right, now, we're going to mark dying right there in verse 10 with a tombstone. Always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are constantly, listen, understand this, you and I who live are constantly being delivered over to what? Death. Put a tombstone there. Death for whose sake? For Jesus' sake. So that, why are you and I constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake? So that, underline it, the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. Bottom line, verse 12. So death works in us, but what? Life in you. Listen to me very carefully. Every difficult situation, I'm standing on a platform, every difficult situation that you are put in, beloved, is a platform to show the sufficiency of God and the power of the Holy Spirit and the grace that is bestowed upon you through the new covenant. And in that platform, death is working in you. But as death works in you, it's so that life might work in others. That means you can go through any trial, whatever it is, in that situation, God has given you a platform to show the sufficiency of His grace. Death in what? Death in me, so what? Life in you. Now, why the death in me? The death in me is so you can see the life of Jesus. Because if Jesus were not in me, I could not go through that. But God doesn't want you to take the Holy Spirit and stuff Him down in there so that they can't see Him. So in that situation, what you need to do is you need to be walking in the Spirit so that they can see that in this situation that you are crucified with Christ. Galatians 2:20, you can write it down, Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but what? Christ in me. And the life I live, I now live by the faith of the Son of God who what? Lived and what? Died for me. So what is the crux? What is God's message to us? And it seems kind of contrary. You are alive for such a time as this. Honey, you are alive for such a time as this so that you might die so that life might work in others. That's what He's saying. That's what He's calling us to. Death in me, life in you. Let's write it down. Death in me, life in you. This means that your conduct is not going to be the conduct of the world. It means that you're going to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, and we will talk about that later on. So 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 31, put it next to verse 12. 1 Corinthians 15, 31, and this says, Paul is saying this, I die what? Daily. I die to my hopes, my dreams, my expectations, my desires. I die to whom? To me, that I might live for Jesus Christ. Oh, listen. I'm just giving you the skeleton. You go home. You study this. You meditate on it. Get my book, Lord, Give Me a Heart for You, which is a study on 2 Corinthians. And we'll go deeper and deeper and we'll go together. And when we go, you're going to understand this and you're going to willingly embrace the cross of Jesus Christ, because that's where every child of God is to live. Death in me, so it's what? Life in you. Let's say it. Death in me, life in you.
We are are on the air because of friends who give generously to this ministry. Our financial partners at every level provide the faithful, ongoing support we need to touch thousands of lives every single day. To partner with us, visit preceptsforlife.com today. Your much-needed gift will help us reach the world with the Word of God.
I want you to see is in verse 13 to 15. Let me read it to you. It says, having the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed, therefore I spoke. I got a hold of truth. I believed it, therefore I spoke, therefore I proclaimed it. We also believe, therefore also we speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and will present us with you. In other words, listen, you can kill this body, but it doesn't take away my life, because the life that is now in me by the power of the Holy Spirit, by the ministry of New Covenant, is eternal life. And so I died with Christ and I will never die again. Absent from the body, what? Present with the Lord. You're just stepping into life eternal. All right, so he says, verse 15, for all things are for your sake. Remember, what did we see in verse 5 and 6? It's not about what? It's not about you. It's about Jesus. And if it's about Jesus, then it's about others. And so he says, for all things are for your sake, so that the grace which is spreading to more and more people may cause the giving of thanks to abound to the glory of God. Now, what's the grace? It's the gospel. Honey, you are super sharp. All right. So put a megaphone over grace there. Because what is the gospel? The gospel is, for by what? Grace are you saved through what? Faith. And that not of yourselves, even the faith is not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. It's not of works, lest anyone should boast. So he's saying all things are for your sakes, so that by the grace megaphone, which is spreading to more and more people, the gospel may cause the giving of thanks to abound to the glory of God. Listen, one of the things as I've been reading and praying and meditating and spending hours and hours with the Lord, just recently, in preparation for this and in preparation crying out to God for help in our ministry so that we can answer the pleas of these people. And as I've been seeking him and seeking him, one of the things I see, precious one, is this. Every time we give thanks to the Lord, it brings glory to him, and he dwells among the praises of his people. So when I give, when I'm in the ministry of giving, 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, it brings glory and joy and thanksgiving to God. And when you and I live this way, when we live this way, and when we spread the gospel, because it's not about us, it's about him, and when we allow death to work in us, that life might work in others, it brings glory to God, because the gospel is spread. So you want to write down in verse 13 to 15, all things are for your sake. All things are for your sake, or all things are for the sake of others. It's not for you, honey. It's not about you. It's about others. All right, now, grace spreading brings thanks. I just want to make sure you get that down. So in verses 5 and 6, you're to preach it. In verses 13 to 15, he says, what you believe, you are to speak. So you preach it, you speak it, and you see the parallelism. All right, now, verse 16 to 18. Verse 16, therefore, we do not what? Lose heart. Oh, have you seen that before? Where did you see it? in verse 1. So put a heart in verse 1 over heart, underline it if you haven't done it. And now when you come to verse 16, you do the same thing. He starts with not losing heart because we have this ministry. He brings it full circle in verse 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Now watch, for though our outer man is decaying, and brother, I'm going to be 70 in November, and I cannot believe it. But I want to tell you something. People saying, what's wrong with your hand? It's arthritis in the joint. I think, what right do you have to have arthritis? I'm twisting my Bible this way and that way and saying, I can't read that. Come closer. What's the problem? I'm getting cataracts. This outer man is decaying. It's decaying. But I want to tell you something. Woo! What's happening inside? Man, I'm a teenager. Inside. For though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. Now listen carefully. For our momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. Any pain you have gone through is temporary. It is a light affliction, and it is producing for you an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison, because you're walking the way God says, because you're fulfilling your ministry, because you are renouncing the hidden things of darkness. You're not distorting the word of God. You are living so the gospel can be seen. And if it's not seen, it's because the God of this world has blinded your eyes. But you are living in such a way that it is not about you, because you're a bondservant of Christ. And because you're a bondservant of Christ, death works in you that life might work in others. Therefore, all things are for your sake, and don't lose heart. Quit looking at the temporal and look at the eternal. It is a momentary light affliction that is producing an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. While we look, you put your eyes on eternity, not on today. For while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are what? Temporal. But the things which are not seen are what? Eternal. We are going to live forever and ever and ever and ever in the presence of Almighty God. And we, this mortal, will put on immortality. This corruptible will put on incorruptibility. And we will reign with Him as King of kings and Lord of lords. And we will become a kingdom of priests to our Lord and to our God. And we will dwell in the new Jerusalem, and He will wipe away every tear, and there will be no more tears and no more pain and no more sorrow and no more death, because the former things have passed away. And for all eternity we will bask in the house of the Lord. That's it. That's right. Wave your hanky. Wave your hanky. Wave your hanky. That's right. That's what's going to happen. That is ours. Now, I only have a minute. Sit down quick. All right. I want you to go to Esther. It's after Chronicles, and it's Ezra, Nehemiah, and Esther. You heard about the king's edict, instigated by Haman, and that was to destroy all the Jews. So as there was an edict to kill all the Jews, so Satan and all of his demonic hosts has an edict out to destroy you. So Mordecai comes to Esther, and he says, I'm not taking off my sackcloth. I'm not taking off my ashes. We are not going to stop fasting and praying. And fasting is used in verse 3. And so the Jews begin to fast. And this is what he said. Verse 13. Then Mordecai told them to reply to Esther, do not imagine that you in the king's palaces can escape any more than all the Jews. Because Esther, remember, was a Jew. For if you remain silent at this time. Now listen, what did we see in 2 Corinthians? I believe, therefore I have what? Spoken. We are to preach that word. And so he's saying, if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place. And you and your father's house will perish. And who knows whether you have not attained royalty for such a time as this. Then Esther told them to reply to Mordecai. Now listen. Go assemble all the Jews who were found in Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. And I and my maidens will also fast in the same way. And thus I will go into the king, which is not according to the law. And if I what? If I perish, I perish. In other words, I am going to let death work in me that what? Life might work in you. Haman was hung on his own gallows. He was hung on his own gallows. Now listen very carefully. When you are willing to die so that death works in you, and life might work in others, then the enemy is hung on his own gallows. He's hung on his own gallows. Awesome, isn't it? Awesome. Because it's death in me so that it might be what? Life in you.
We sincerely hope you've enjoyed this week's edition of Precepts for Life. For books or Bible study materials which can help further your studies on the topics discussed on today's program, contact Precept Ministries International at 1-800-763-1990 or log on to our website at precept.org.